Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, it's the final hours, minutes, seconds, dare I say, it's the final countdown. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the final hours. Next weekend, it's here. The biggest event of our lifetime. Every year, we look forward to it here. Paragon Dawn looks forward to it. We take over the hosting duties of the biggest event in the superhero world. I'm talking about DawnCon 8. We cross the streams of the multiverse for gathering of fun and excitement and mass hysteria of the coolest kind. Before I get, I'm getting away with myself. I am Pokemon. This is Paragon Radio. And I'm bringing him on right now, my co-host, who's going to get into more detail about this. Mad Viking, get in here!
Hold on a second here. Hey, Spectrum.
What?
I knew it was you, Spectrum. You shut down my internet for 2 hours, and then when I finally drive up to tell people I was down, you brought it back up. Me down, Spectrum.
Oh,
you Spectrum. Let me down. A little tribute to the passing of James Caan.
When did he pass?
Last week.
I missed it. That's funny. That's why they've been showing slap shots so much.
Oh, come on. You would figure that he wasn't the Godfather. Hence the Godfather quote.
I know. Yes, I know that, but they've been showing slap shot on... what channel? Stars. They've been showing Slapshot like almost every other day it's been on the last week. I'm like, why are they showing Slapshot so much? Great movie, but it's just funny. I know it's Godfather. But that scene wasn't him.
No, but that's literally what happened last week here. I was planning to do a show,
yes.
You know, to fill in. And Spectrum.
those bastards. But this Sunday, it all kicks off. The event we've been waiting for since last year when Mad Viking took the walk out of Champions HQ. To the closing theme of the Incredible Hulk TV show. He goes every year to mark the ending of DawnCon 7. As is tradition.
Actually, you know, I did ask here, do you want me to end it differently? Everyone like, Blake,
no! No. No, what was funny was after that, we had a mystery event right afterwards. See, he walked out to it and then went to the WCOC WCOC building in the conference room. So he hits a ride over there. Well, we had a special event planned, a bonus event planned.
And Alto is missing his cue for crayon cartels.
Alto, how could you? That was your prime opportunity. That was your moment. That was your moment, Alto.
Now, Alan has an excuse. He has a delay, so.
Yes.
Alan
will do it in
about
30
minute
seconds.
Or two.
Alan will do it in about a second, a minute or two.
But, yes, DawnCon 8 is next week. Right
starts.
Now, I am asking everyone to set up for their times and everything so I can post the times,
yes,
and everything.
Yes.
Fact,
you know me, we could either go either 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. Eastern. You know what I'm talking about. What year is this that we're doing it now?
Third or fourth?
It's got to be year three.
Let's see, what was Tokyo Drift?
Tokyo Drift technically is the third movie made, but it actually happens later in the series. And I will explain why. I don't care if you haven't seen them all. tough luck. You've had chances to get. They're on number nine. Number nine just came out. Number nine's on HBO Max. So tough. This is why. All right. In Tokyo Drift, the character Han is introduced. Han is killed at the end of the movie. However, in later movies, Han is in several of the movies. Everybody goes, huh? So he dies at the end of Tokyo Drift, but they explain, no. Tokyo Drift occurs later in the series. So let me look this up. I want to say it occurs between 6 and 7. So let me look this up. While you are explaining something else,
All right. Well, let's see.
It used to be I could type in Fast and the Furious, and it would give me the list of, you know, the movies,
mm-hmm.
like as a franchise. And now it's just like going to specific movies. I don't know why. Come on, just give me them.
Well, as I was about to say here, basically, yep, we are ready for number eight. You just heard we are, you know, the start will be the Fast and Furious on Champions Online in Canada.
Yes. Opening event. I'm sorry, yes. Oh, no. It's not the Fast and the Furious. Remember,
Fast and the Furious.
Right. As Fast and the Furious, you must have a vehicle. You must either be an anamorphic character or have an anamorphic costume to participate. And then it's the Fast and the Furious. What we do is by the Argent... by their base, there's a long paved road. We use that for drag racing. Usually we go four wide as the NASCAR vernacular like to say. We go four wide, baby. Boogity, boogity, boogity. No more than four wide per race.
Yeah, I was told I still have to do the boogity, boogity, boogity.
Yes. We have to do that for each race. We would like to go four wide. If we don't have enough, we might just go three wide. We hope to get as many as we can as we go four wide for a few heats and then narrow it down. We're going to go four wide down the road. We do need spotters. We do need a couple of high-level characters to sit at the end. What we do is we start at the Argent with the opening of the fences. That's a nice place because there's no creatures there, so we could all hang out there. We go down to the snowdrift all the way at the end. We need some people to clear out all the creatures there. Usually high level. Like occasionally we had like an 11-level character like, no, you can't. Why? Oh, crap, that's why.
you're being discriminating. So, no, we're being sane because
no,
we get there.
Yes, we're trying to help you. Yes, you don't understand. You can if you're sidekicked.
But continuing on, of course, Monday we'll have the Blog Talk Radio edition.
Yes, well, we'll have a recap of all the Sunday events, which will be the Fast and the Furious. And speaking of the dogs barking, my stepdad's not doing anything about it, and it's just he's just laying here bark. This week, when he comes back, what?
Tuesday, we expect the Dawn Conmination
starts at what time? What time does that start?
Well, you got to check with Coconut.
Right.
That's why I was asking for everyone's times.
Right.
Wednesday, my show.
Hold on. I was going to say by next week's Paragon Radio. We should, as I say should, have all the starting times for all the events next week, for all next week's events. So.
Right.
So go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
All right. Now, Wednesday, of course, my show and the Bunny Night movie, which I'll be trying to get a hold of either Masquerade or Vixen or Morgana for not only that, but also to confirm for what's going to be for Bunny Night Friday. And have that all set up. Thursday, I know one person is listening about Thursday. I need confirmation
Thursday.
Metal Day.
Yeah, it would be Metal Day.
I know you're listening. Give a private yes, I can announce, or not. Here we go. There's going to be a bit of a delay. But while we're waiting on that, of course, like I said, Alto has his costume contest on Friday.
What is the theme this year?
Lemurian, basically, we're going underwater.
You might want to jump in.
Champions,
COH.
Yeah. City of COH, yeah.
No, we're in Champions.
Boingy, boingy.
Oh, okay. Boingy, boingy. Okay. And where is that contest going to be? Is that going to be in the Powerhouse Theater or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and
yep.
Alto does Viper Lemurian. Yep.
All okay, right. And that's Friday at what time?
I don't. He's not here. I can't give the honest time.
I know. Okay, and then Saturday is the main event. That's
right.
That will be that.
Which
is,
I gotta get with Softy. The reason
right,
why
that's basically what we call. That's what we call DawnCon Prime Day. That's the big
right.
tradition. That's
Prime.
The big day.
We've turned to Amazon. Okay.
yes, because today's Amazon Prime Day. Yes, very good. That's where we all head to Champions headquarters for the day. Whatever events we're going to have in Champions Online side, we head there. That is the day. It's like if it was a real convention, we would be there for the day. Actually, you know what? I think that this costume contest, out of the spirit of it, should be at Champions headquarters also. No? Yes,
well, here's where I'm going with it. Champions headquarters, okay. Of course, that's tradition. City of Heroes.
Right.
It's either going to be in the Paragon Dawn base or...
Right.
Or, and this is why I got to check with Softy,
yes.
Geeks Unlimited base. She offered it. I got to reconfirm.
Okay.
Also, Second Life.
Oh.
Also Second Life,
yes.
With the DogCon area there.
Right. Now, just because Saturday is what we are calling DogCon Prime Day, Sunday is a bonus day event. And something I'm hoping will continue for all the work I'm putting in. Alto wanted me to Dungeon Master... Dungeons and Dragons 5th Edition. So that's Sunday, a week from. My events are bookending DawnCon this year. And the second event of mine, I think besides actually playing, I think one of the cool things to do for Dungeons and Dragons is getting the group together. And, hey, let's sit down, make our characters. And two things. There's two ways to go about it. One, I don't know what I want to play. Let me just roll my stats. Two, I know what I want to play, but I need certain stats, you know. So you're going to roll your dice until you get your stats, you know. Like... it's always like, I want to multi-class these two, so I need three of my stats high. All right, so you're just going to roll your stats And by that, I mean the old tried and true method, 4 six-sided dice. Drop the lowest number. Drop the lowest one for your 3d6. You know. And you roll that 6 times. And if that set doesn't work, scrap it. Roll another set. We've done that so many times. Well, why are you doing that? Well, because I need a set. Because you know, the group has approved this character idea. And it's not like I'm just rolling until I get really high stats. It's just until the prerequisite is there so I can play this character. You know.
And if you and get as Dungeon Master. And if you get 6 18s, we're checking your dice.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to use the online program.
Then we're checking the computer.
Yeah, yeah, I think somebody hacked it. Yeah, right? What is it called here? It's called... I have it here. I had it here. I know what it's called. I can tell you. Hold on a minute. Where
name
is it? Yeah, it's a dice roll. I think it was... where is it? Okay, I had it. For Christ's sake, it was here.
Roll 20s.
It was... No. Yeah, roll 20s, right. On 3D6, right? RollDiceWithFriends.com.
Ah, that was it.
That's what it is, Rhett. Yes, that's what it is. And, of course, what you would do is you would just – what you do is there's a whole set of the polyhedron dice up on top. So what you would do is you would just click four – the six-sided dice 4 times. I'm going to try now. Roll it. All right. Oh, God. I just rolled an 8, and it shows a D6. 1, 4, 2, 1. So, oh, God, it gets even worse. So I would drop the lowest number, which is a 1. I get a 7. Oh, that's... Let's try again. Roll. Oh, I got a 16. Unfortunately, a 2, 5, 4, and 5. So I'd have to drop a 2. I got a 14. That's not bad. That's, you know, pretty decent. Roll again. Wow. That's really good, that one. I got a 20, a 6, a 6, a 5, and a 3. Drop the 3. I got a 17.
There you go.
17 and a 14 so far. Next one. All right, a 14, a 4, 6, 2, and a 2. I got to drop a 2. That's a 12. Oh, we're getting worse. Another 12 because it's been the 14. Okay, again. Oh, we're going backwards. Okay, 11, 3, 3, 1, and 4. Dropped a 1. I got a 10. I got 2 more. Okay, I rolled a 17, 5, 2, 5, 5. Dropped 2, it's a 15. Okay.
There you go.
So right there, I think I have enough 3 stats for the multi-class character I want. And one last one. Okay, a 16. 3 fives and a 1. I got a 15. You know what? That's playable character for the multi-class if I wanted that character. And, of course, depending on what you play, you get bonuses to stats. And, of course, the way the game is now, every 4 levels – you get a point to put into one of your characteristics. So there you go.
So for all those players that always put the lowest number in charisma, here's your chance to get pretty real fast.
No. You see, my character, charisma has to be the highest score. I'm playing a paladin warlock. They need charisma as a high score.
Yeah, but we all know the tradition. All right, the strength. Okay, we need the constitution. Yeah, need dexterity. Mm-hmm. Okay, this 3. We'll put it in charisma.
Yeah. what's funny is, I don't know if you ever heard of the RPGA, the Role Playing Gamers Association.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the living city, and so we make characters. I played a bard. I had a 17 charisma, and everybody would always take like charisma as their lowest thing. And so the one DM one time goes, "Holy shit, you're the most beautiful person in the entire city." joking around. So somebody goes, I stare at him longingly. Wait a minute, you're like a different race. You're an orc. I don't care. You're so pretty. You're beautiful. He was like a half orc joking around. He's like.
But you have a surprise for us at this moment.
Yes, as DM, I wasn't sure. I'm still not sure what we're going to do for our first initial thing. So I got this thing I saw. They were offering it for 2 months for half off, and I could cancel. It is a small box I have here. It's called Dungeon in a Box. It's supposed to help, you know, if you just want to do it. It came in a plastic thing. I'm taking the clear plastic off it now. It's a nice, hold on. Oh, if you can hear it. Mm-hmm. I've removed the plastic bag. Oh, great. Well, when they delivered it, they put a hole through the top of the box. Great. Thank you. Gee, it's kind of cool. It's cardboard, but they make it look like a treasure chest. All right. So, I'm opening the dungeon box. It's cardboard. Oh, okay. I get two. They're supposed to come with two miniatures. All right. The first one is a tabaxi pirate. Oh, we could bring him out for a talk like a pirate day.
Wait a minute. Tabaxi, that's a cat creature?
Stories circulate about the seedier dockside hangouts of the charmed captain who has come out of impossible situations time and time again. Miraculously unscathed, the captain keeps the fact of his multiple lives a secret. I think so. The better to further his legend, and because he himself isn't entirely sure how many he has left, the Star Tide. Let me see here. Alto would love this, yes. It's Alto as a pirate. Yes, it is a cat. It is a cat pirate.
It's the pirate Alto.
It's the pirate Alto. And next up is a dragon skull hermit crab. This is awesome. It's a hermit crab using a dragon skull. And it's funny because the snout of the dragon skull is the tail end of his. I got to take a picture and send it to you. It's awesome. It's not painted, but it's pretty cool. Let's see what it says in the back. The special hermit crab.
City of Heroes.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Oops, wrong game. You know what I'll do? I will just. I did that. I cheated. I just said I. Okay. The special armor crabs tend to take on the characteristics of the specific abode they choose, become more aggressive or protective than they would otherwise. Sailors and other explorers that have crossed paths with dragon skull armor crabs swear that the dragon bone shells are all but impervious to attack. Huh. Okay, but this is really cool. It's a hermit crab inside this dragon skull. All right. So, and now.
And you know that hermit crab is defending treasure going, hi, hi, hi.
Yeah.
Those who've seen Finding Nemo.
Okay. Yes. So Dungeon in the Box. Voyage of the Fallen Star. The Star Tide. Okay, let's see. How do you open this? Oh, I see. Okay, hold on. Got a little plastic thing here. Hold on. Oh, I see. And then I don't know if you heard about these skinny minis they have, they call them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're supposed to be miniatures, but they're almost like shrinky dinks. You just put them on the stands now. But hold on, I digress. There's a huge map. So this box includes all the following. All right, there's an invention number one, a port city, ancient temple, and ship encounters. Oh, my God. Dude. This was catered for us. It's a pirate mission. It's a pirate adventure. Oh my God, this was catered for us. I have to make Captain Blondebeard. What am I doing? Voyage of the Fallen Star. All right, this is so not what I was expecting. I was like playing a dungeon or something, but holy shit, this is awesome.
So I can see it now, what's going to happen. We make the characters on the first, on the last day, and the first mission will be on Talk Like a Pirate Day. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
September 19th.
No, no.
Well, hold on. Let me check the day. Let me check the day.
Yeah. Oh, what day of the week it is?
It's a Monday.
We'll have to do something that afternoon before we go on air.
Well, I work. That afternoon.
You'll have to take off that day. What's the matter with you? Do I think of everything? God bless. All right. Okay. I have the stats for the Dragon Skull Hermit Crab. Okay, I have to read up. Okay, okay. That's really cool. And it has in here all these maps. Like, these maps are awesome. Oh, good Lord, this is a big map. Wow, I don't even want to open this thing yet. Okay. Cool, so you get these maps.
Now he doesn't want
adventure.
To open it. Yeah, now listen to this.
No. It's just really big. That's what I mean. It's just the map, I mean. The map, I don't. Okay, hold on. And these things I've seen before. These. Oh, okay. These are more solid than I thought. Okay. Okay, and these things are called, hold on, what are these things called? Skinny mini tokens.
Okay.
They are like miniatures, but you just put them on stands.
Okay.
So.
Kind of reminds me of one time, going into doing D&D with figurines. And the Dungeon Master is a army recruiter, Sergeant Mad Dog Maddox. I remember him, good guy, great player. And he's going like, okay, so you want to be this, you want to be this. It comes to this one woman who, first time playing... She's been enjoying it. She's playing a wizard.
Right.
And she goes, all right, so I could paint your character here. What color do you want your robes to be? You know, you want it to be white. Right. You want it to be red. You want it to be black. Pink.
Purple.
That was the most agonizing 48 hours for that guy to... He couldn't even do it. He gets the brush... close. He's like, I don't want to do it. He even had a plan.
Okay, there's more.
On a bullseye on the back.
So,
but he couldn't
get,
do it.
You get cards for NPCs. There are cutouts, foldouts for 3D terrain. And there's a special card in here, quality control, that says this box was prepped and checked by a zealous astral reaver. I think we found our first adventure.
Yeah.
Oh, those are the legacy cards. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think this is very cool. It must be asked, right? How this crew doing a pirate thing? And next month I'm getting another one. I think that's going to be it. Because it's like $18. Normally it's $36, but after that it's like I got it on sale for like $18 a month, and then after the first two it's $36. So I was like, you know what? I think I'm good with the $18 one. But I'm trying to find. How do you feel about Greyhawk?
I like Greyhawk.
Because I found somebody was talking about if anybody's listening and has the original Red Books, you know, the original box that introduced you to Greyhawk, and they want to, if they are sitting on that box that and they want to get rid of it to a worthy cause, just the two books, get in touch with me. If they feel like giving your beloved host just the two books I can borrow just to read. Because I found this thing online. The guy was saying, yeah, if you want to convert, like, Greyhawk to 5th edition, you start with those. Because that's 5 years before From the Ashes, before the Greyhawk Wars. And you have 5 years of a time frame that you have to worry about From the Ashes, the Greyhawk Wars, and you can just, you know, play around. And because now there's a company that is taking all the original modules. Remember I said that all the original modules take place from Greyhawk? Well, they're converting all those modules into 5th edition. Or don't even have to play them. Just, you know, take 5th edition stuff and just, you know, put it into Greyhawk.
Okay.
Or I could try and catch up and read about Everos, since I have the book now. I can read about that. So we'll see. Like I said, I got a bunch of stuff to do this week, and then next week is going to be an interesting week. That's why I want to get the times for next week, so I could do stuff. And what is Silver Age website? Oh, okay. Yep. So like I said, people are tuning in. If people are tuning in and want to join the Paragon Dawn D&D, what do you want to call it, experiment, project? It's something for fun. you know, it's going to be the last Sunday of DawnCon, which is, what is the date officially?
Hold on. Let me get the calendar up again.
Okay.
It'll be the 24th.
Okay, it'll be the 24th of...
July.
Sorry. So, 24th of July. I'm going to give it, I'm going to say 2 p.m. Eastern. For now, if we want to meet earlier. And all we're going to do, we're just going to make characters that day. We're just going to hang out, just make characters, discuss the group. You know, if you have an idea in mind, if you have access to 5th edition books, you know, check them out. Because when I got the core books, I was impressed with the selection, with the subclasses. You know, and I was like, holy shit. You know, I just couldn't believe, like, how they wrote them up. I was like, I want to play this. I want to make one of these. I want to make one of these. I want to do this. I want to make one of them. I mean, really, it was just like, wow.
Well, I will be announcing everything as we go through the week. Obviously, I'll probably say something on Wednesday once I get some times confirmed. I'll say something on Friday.
Right.
I'll probably make a special show for Saturday, and then Sunday, all hell breaks loose. I mean, we get ready.
Right. And like I said, Sunday is just going to be, you know, I have I have the Player's Handbook. This is what I have access to, Player's Handbook. Xanathar's Guide to Everything. And I just got my hands on Tasha's Cauldron of Everything. I do have the Eberron. It's here somewhere. I know I have it. Where is it? I have it. What happened was I was somebody mentioned, Eberron Rising from the Last War. And that has some character classes that I will allow. So,
right,
if I
well,
can get the two red books from Greyhawk, definitely Greyhawk. And, you know, I would love to do something with Greyhawk. I'd love to bring Greyhawk back to 5th edition. It's just, you know, being an old school player, I always felt comfortable in Greyhawk. You know, it's just something about it. It's just like, I can't explain it. It's just, we're
it's
home.
There.
You know what I mean?
You're old school,
yeah,
it's there. It's ingrained.
You know why? It's all the old modules take place in Greyhawk. If you ever played an old module in 1st or 2nd edition, you were in Greyhawk before the Forgotten Realms came out. Unless it said Forgotten Realms, it took place in Greyhawk.
Or before even Dragonlance.
Right. If it wasn't Dragonlance or Forgotten Realms, you were in Greyhawk.
Well, looking at the time. Go ahead.
Is it? Right. And I'm sorry we're taking so much time talking about D&D and this is supposed to be our superhero thing. So this is what I want to talk about now. Now we're going to turn our attention. Stranger Things. Season 4. Volume 2. Oh my God. This is what I want to say. It was 9 episodes this year. On average, when they had 10 episodes, they were like 50 minutes. Well, it was 9 episodes this year. Average time per episode, hour, 15 minutes. Okay? Volume 2. Okay, so basically it was episode 8, 1 hour, 25 minutes. Episode 9, the finale of season 4, 2 hours, 19 minutes. Yes. The finale of season 4 was 2 hours, 19 minutes by itself. That's longer than most major motion pictures. And it was worth every minute, every second. And after watching that, I'm going to say this. They better hurry up and give me season 5 after what happened at the end, after the ending.
Well, we also got to do updates. Now, I have an update of Ship of Heroes.
Hold on. I'm not done.
All right.
The Boys. Oh, my God. As usual, season finale. Holy shit. Are you kidding me? Oh, and I have one update I got to get out of the way. Supernatural fans. The Winchesters. The prequel series. Has a release date for the premiere. This year, October 11th. Put that on your calendars. Mark it down. Whatever you have to do. That's when it comes out. October 11th of this year. The prequel begins. And who knows? Maybe out of that, we get a reboot of Supernatural. They undo that shitty finale, that series finale. Please, God, please. It was horrible. It was so horrible. And I know, and I keep saying, I'm going to say this. If you have fans invested for 15 years, they have a right to be pissed off. Because think about this. Even if you're 30 years old, you've invested half your life into watching this show. So you absolutely have a right to be pissed. I mean, the show stayed on for 15 years because these people invested their time and money
for
fans who bought merchandise. Okay. I'll keep going. I'll keep going. So, yeah, for these people to go, oh, the fans, they should just shut up and watch the show. No. you fans have every right to your opinions and to share your opinions. If a show is on. As a matter of fact, like Game of Thrones, House of Dragons is coming out August 21st this year. And word has gotten out about a sequel to Game of Thrones. It's going to feature Jon Snow as the main character. And from what I've heard, the show is just going to be called Snow. Yes, the show is going to be called Snow. So, there you go. Yes, an original name. And I told my stepbrother, and the look he gave was the look I swear I gave.
All right.
Yes, Natalia, yes. You like Snow, but, you know, Snow. I mean, they could come up with a better name than that. Like, I hope they do come up with something better.
Well, I got
anyway,
15 minutes
let's get
for
some
an
updates.
Update.
All right, let's get yep. some. All right, let's get some updates, and then we go to the tomb of the tome.
Yep. Here we go. And there's only one, and we checked. I have the only one
yes.
because we are fearing that City of Titans may go to the wayside, as in Heroes and Villains
yes.
and Valiants.
Because
we have
yes,
not had
we
an
did check
update.
It's not looking pretty, folks. It's not looking. I think that Sovereign Reign was right.
Well, that's if that doesn't bring her on, that I don't know what will. She loves going. I told you, I'm right.
I was going to say, I told you, I knew it.
All right. Which leads us with
as sure
Ship of Heroes.
Hold on. As sure as I'm a Texan, I knew it.
Here we go.
Oh, she's going to kill me for that bad impression. Oh, God.
Although, remind me to tell you about when Jester imitated her.
Oh, God. Go on. I don't feel so bad now. Go ahead.
All right, quickly. I'll say it quickly. Jester, he actually was pretty damn close. And me and her were laughing our asses off. And she returns favor and starts imitating Jester. Going like, hey,
oh, shit. Okay.
Okay, here we go. Ship of Heroes. Player
okay.
housing is radically improved. Oh, remember, this is our new drinking game, so get ready.
Oh, I got it. I'm ready.
All right.
I got it.
After last month's beta on the new player housing / supergroup, okay, that's good, base hyphen builder.
They're hyphen crazy. They are hyphen crazy for no reason.
We took a survey to see what the SOH community would like to see next. Comments were overwhelmingly positive, and we got a lot of great ideas and improvements, so we are implementing all of the most hyphen requested changes.
I gave a double shot for the second one. They should know better. You have to three shots.
Those
shot.
Are two separate
three...
words. I can somewhat understand base builder, but most requested, those are two separate words. Here we go. Number one, allow us to create a base layout from scratch, placing squares to make the floor plan we want to have. The blank slate housing option is now live. It's working in the base hyphen builder.
Four.
Three.
The one I said two.
Okay. The short video on the blank slate system is out today on YouTube and on Rumble. If you want to propose a better name than blank slate, tell us in the forums. The video is sped up for your convenience, but you can now start out standing in space, create your own base with a layout of your own design, where each panel can be textured individually. There is an upper limit to the total number of pieces can be placed, so currently one cannot create a base the size of Texas, but you can still do quite a bit. Two, edit without your character in the view. Done. You can now edit your base with or without your character in view. 3. Have a view mode. Done. You can now view your base without activating the object hyphen lights.
5.
With or without your character in view. 3 of each set that always has your character.
I just want to slap him in the head.
I just want to
slap him.
We're going to have some drunk people tonight. The previous set always had told your character in view. Now a button can get it out of the way. Object yellow highlights were always active on hover and pop up of the object window. Now they can be turned off. 4. Reduce crowding in the UI. Almost done. Most of the UI will be relocated to a ribbon at the bottom of the page. The ribbon can be resized and moved around the screen and made to disappear entirely. 5. Give us more control when placing textures and modifying the interior layout. You can now place interior walls, resize them to any height and width, texture them in a cool new way. If you just want to add a wall and have it match the base walls, the new wall pattern will align with the wall pattern of the base walls by default. You can also add stairs and platforms, and we're working on making it easier to highlight and precisely place objects. Blah. 6.
Was that you or was that them?
That
okay,
was me.
That was you. Okay, never mind. Okay.
Allow us to enhance our characters in our bases prior to gameplay. Almost done. You'll be able to resin a base and apply buffs that last for a couple of hours. Buffing stations are now available to add to your base. That does not sound right.
I don't like the way it sounds. That's 6. That's 6. I had 45 pints last night. I'm all right. I had something to eat. What'd you have? I had a bag of chips and a bag of crisps. Thank you, drink.
All right, 7. We want visitors to see how cool our base is. We are working on this now. We hope to have something in place for July 22nd.
What's July 22nd?
More props, please. Bigger ones, too. There are a few furnishings to check out that will look good in large or small spaces, including fireplaces. You'll see even more as we get closer launch. Closer launch?
7.
Closer to launch, just like we're closing the character creator. Closer launch. All right, we're going to launch the rocket here. Just bring it right up to the screen. Okay.
Bring it over here, please. And I'll just breathe on it, and I got enough fuel in my mouth to launch it. Don't worry about it. I'm fine.
Of course, the items in the newsletter are not the only upgrades we made since the beta ended. Apart from bug hyphen fixing. We've also been working hard to I think Heroes and Villains has been defeated. We're not done yet, too. Here we go.
Hold up. I think I know where Golden Girl went.
We've also been working hard to address such issues as indoor waterfalls, feature walls, and having more furniture to place. There's even some wood hyphen burning.
That's fine.
Fireplaces now, which is an ultimate luxury in space. We're working down a list created from the surveys you submitted. So thanks again to all of you who shared your ideas. It's been a big help. One of the interesting things about designing a base, hyphen builder.
That's it.
In an MMO, it's compared to the base hyphen builders.
Oh, come on now. Sorry. I just couldn't get the thing out of my mouth, right? Sorry. That's 12.
And we got AFKs over ahead, according to Hell Lord Satan. Okay.
We do?
In other MMORPGs, in our view, Having more options and more creative flexibility without limits can eventually make the system more difficult to learn and less AP hyphen approachable.
Oh, fuck. 13. We got a baker's dozen of alcohol tonight. I didn't think it was possible, but holy shit, we got, ladies and gentlemen, your winner and new champions.
We're balancing a fun level of complexity and flexibility with ease of use. Okay. False alarm. SOH players housing isn't too complicated, and yet it provides a lot of design freedom. We hope this is perfect for players who want to follow their artistic vision without having to get a doctorate in base hyphen building.
Is that a 14?
Let us know in the forums whether you think we hit the mark or not and what we ought to do to improve, but you will see a lot of improvement to base hyphen building.
Oh, good Lord. They passed the mark.
In the next feature, hyphen beta.
Oh, my God. 16 mistakes. In one.
Which will start around July 22nd. As always, we'll be posting both on our website and on the forums of any new updates for Ship of Heroes. Remember to check them regularly, and don't feel afraid to speak up. We love to hear from you, our audience. I will not read the technical notes because that's called alcohol poisoning.
I can't take it. Stop. I don't have enough alcohol in my liquor cabinet for that one.
We have a new champion.
Wait,
Golden Girl has to turn in her title.
Ladies and gentlemen, your winner, who the hell wrote that thing?
Hyphen Boy, obviously. That's the title of that.
Of course.
Hyphen Boy.
What was I thinking? Look at Alan there. He's staggering. He's drinking and he can't stand up anymore. If he was any taller, he would have collapsed already.
Silver Egret, you can't drink me how to think. Yep, we do definitely have a new drinking game. So you may not like the game, Pogo, but the drinking game has returned.
I never said I didn't. Our poor listeners. Oh, our poor listeners. And it's only a Monday. Just so they go, why the hell? Why did you guys read this last week? All right.
Tuesday, they'll
be
coming back. I did what? With who? Where? Will they let me back in?
Okay. I guess it's time to... Okay, it's time to go into the tomb. No matches. No torches.
Yeah, you're holding a torch here. I just want to point that out.
It's overhead. It's way overhead. It's fine. I'm in open. Oh, God. It's way overhead. I'm in an open space. I'm talking about retrieving the book in the tomb. Okay. So, you don't want to be in this book. It's like being on the list. Jeez. All right.
We're adding hyphen boy to the list.
That's right. This book is full of half-baked heroes from comic book history. These are those other guys. You don't want to be those guys either. These guys are the League of Regrettable Superheroes. First, we go to the Golden Age. This first entry, created by Russell Stamm, debuted in the Chicago Times, June 3rd, 1940. Has no relation to imperceptible Crimson O'Leary, undetectable Alizarin O'Shea. Okay. The quote, "I'd better remove my clothes so I could swing freely in the ring." What? All right. This is so metric. I'm talking about none of the... I'm talking about none other than Invisible Scarlett O'Neil. All right. It's not exactly a name that strikes terror into the hearts of criminals, but in the early anything goes days of superheroes, the rules were still being written, and Invisible Scarlett O'Neil helped write them. The eponymous Ms. O'Neil missed out on being the first female superhero in comics only because her initial appearance was in newspaper comic strips before she made her comic book debut. Fantoma, that we read about page 50, is generally considered the first. Many of her few contemporaries, like the Woman in Red and Lady Luck, had little but their wits and fists to rely on. Scarlet may have lacked a superheroic alias or costume, but, as her nickname implies, she had the advantage of invisibility. One in a long line of costume crime fighters who gained powers from having an ingenious inventor for her father. An example, Son of Supermind, which we'll read about in a few weeks. Scarlett O'Neil acquired her ability to turn transparent when, as a young girl, she poked a curious finger into a ray beam in her father's laboratory. The result? She could now render herself invisible at will. Whenever our heroine needed to pass unseen, the change was triggered by a discreet application of gentle pressure at a specific spot on her wrist. Scarlet was the creation of Russell Stamm, a former assistant on Dick Tracy, who abandoned the hard-boiled, guns-blazing sensibilities of the popular cop strip that gave him his start. As if presaging the parental concern over comic bloodletting, she got by on... Oh, wait, as if presaging the parental concern over comic book violence, sorry, Scarlet solved her cases without much in the way of bullets or bloodletting. She got on by wits and her innate kindness. Even promotional material boasted of her relative nonviolence. Action, without blood and thunder, read one, and adventure. Exciting, but human. Fantasy, but with a humorous twist. Not that O'Neil avoided trouble. Her adventures included challenges any superhero would be proud to face, from raging wildfires to gun-happy crooks, even a little time traveling. But all its variety, her career wasn't a long one. As superheroes' popularity began to wane, ISO faded with them. Though slowly, in 1950, the quote-unquote invisible was dropped from her title, and Scarlett's unusual ability was put on display with increasing rarity. After a few more years as just Scarlett O'Neil, the strip was renamed after a popular, recently introduced character, Stainless Steel. A year later, it was canceled altogether.
Now, you said bullocks the quote was, "I have to remove my clothing in order to." Yeah, so
I better remove my clothes so I can swing freely in the ring. Wow. I'm telling you, man. Wowee.
So basically that wasn't a comic, that was invisible porn.
Yeah, I guess so, man. Whew. Goodness gracious.
Okay.
All right, let's go to the Silver Age. Ta ta da ta 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 ta. All right. this one. Yeah, you might have heard this name. Created by some guy by the name of Jerry Siegel. Debuted in Mr. Muscles number 22. Charlton Comics, March 1956. Issue oddity. Mr. Muscles took over Charlton's Blue Beetle comic, replacing that hero's name in the title, but keeping the numbering. Quote, iron bars do not a prison make, particularly if you have muscle power. I am talking about none other than Mr. Muscles. The cover to his debut appearance promises bang-up throwing displays of physical strength and power, while inside the book, readers are offered a glimpse at, quote-unquote, the world's mightiest man and the most perfect specimen of manhood alive, a.k.a. the greatest crusader for clean living and justice the world has ever known. It all sounds very exciting. Mr. Muscles is a former weakling named Brett Carson, who, a few years before the beginning of the story, was suffering advanced stages of polio. Facing imminent paralysis, Brett dedicated himself to recovering his lost mobility. During the subsequent months of struggle, he slowly recovers in small, painful bursts. He moves his fingers. He is able to sit while receiving consistent lack of encouragement from his doctors. After being told he'll never walk again, Brett proudly strolls out of the hospital, pledging to achieve absolute perfection. The perfection takes the form of Mr. Muscles, Brett's costumed alter ego, although it's more of a nickname than an actual secret identity. As Mr. Muscles, Brett uses his tremendous physical strength and peak conditioning to foil criminals and generally save the day in true super heroic fashion. Also, in the old costume crime fighter tradition, Mr. Muscles picks up a couple of tag-alongs. Ms. Muscles is a female athlete who makes only one appearance, but she seems as famous for her physical perfection as is her male counterpart. There's also Kid Muscle, Mr. Muscle's sidekick, a brash and energetic youngster who spends his spare time driving around wearing a wrestling singlet, apparently looking for trouble to squash. Despite being a physical culture advocate first and a crime fighter second, Mr. Muscles finds himself pitted against crooks and murderers with some frequency. Among his foes are carnies, the mob, a conniving wrestler named Jake Armbuster, a red-headed abominable snowman portrayed as a giant bearded man wearing an animal skin with no explanation where he came from, and a mad zookeeper whose envy of Mr. Muscle's physique drives him to arrange a murder by tiger. When not thwarting crooks and murderers, Mr. Muscles indulges crowds with displays of his tremendous strength and endurance, doing one-handed headstand push-ups, bending seal bars, and allowing folks to jump off a ladder onto his stomach while he's poised in a reverse crab, then catapulting them back up to the top of the ladder. We call that one a number tree. Number three. Obviously, intended to promote, and with three, you get egg roll. Hey-o! Obviously, intended to promote the idea of physical fitness, extreme physical fitness even, Mr. Muscles lacked the stamina to keep it up. Two issues with the super bodybuilder's max prep. Before blowout, Mr. Muscles hasn't picked up a barbell since. Oh, good Lord.
So we go from Naked Invisible Woman to Muscle Man, of a perfect man specimen who couldn't keep it up. This is not going well.
All right. Okay. We're going on a totally different thing here. All right. This one was, okay, hold on. Okay, this one was created by Gary Friedrich and Herb Trimpe. He debuted in Ghost Rider Volume 2, Number 1, Marvel Comics in September 1973. His religion is Jesuit. Honestly, it said so in the comic. His quote, "By night, my true and rightful heritage takes control, and I become my father's son. I speak of none other than Son of Satan."
Firestorm. Don't
Son of Satan?
I mean, not Firestorm. Hellstorm.
Well, it says Son of Satan, so.
Yeah. Hellstrom, okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. Hey. Stop jumping the gun.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Okay. They say that success depends not on what you know, but on whom you know. So, surely in the good versus evil industry, it's a big help to be directly related to the guy in charge of all the evil. Or is it? Damon Hellstorm isn't exactly following in his father's footsteps. As the demonically powered anti-hero Son of Satan, Hellstorm pits himself against the earthly machinations of his infernal father, not to mention a host of demons and monsters from the pit, and even his own equally evil sister. In the early 1970s, Marvel was having success with a wave of heroes inspired by horror movies and monster stories from original concoctions like Man-Thing and the Haitian hero Brother Voodoo, who we've discussed before, and to reimagine classic menaces such as Werewolf by Night, Morbius the Living Vampire, and the Living Mummy. The Son of Satan debuted in the pages of Ghost Rider, engaging with that flame-headed hero in a battle against a devil-worshipping villain called the Witch Woman, while simultaneously launching his own ongoing run in a title called Marvel Spotlight. Idle hands, as they say, .. Describing the Son of Satan's run as controversial is putting it lightly. Christian readers were unsettled by a superhero proudly bearing a satanic pseudonym, and readers sympathetic with Wiccan and even satanic faiths objected to the unflattering portrayals. Visually, the bare-chested and trident-sporting superhero cut a unique figure, where other heroes kept themselves in the city. Hellstrom decked out more like a glam rocker than a do-gooder, and getting around via a demon-drawn flaming chariot was typically portrayed striding through the infernal landscapes of his pop's backyard, knocking over demons and posing amid a flame-blasted landscape. An occult investigator by day, Hellstrom was bent on his mission on Earth to foil his father's plans on the mortal plane, a never-ending battle that pitted him against a demonic horde with such interesting names as Cathara, Asmodeus, Ixalan, Spyros, and Alatel, not to mention his own wicked sibling, Satana. The Son of Satan isn't as high profile as he once was, but he hasn't gone anywhere. Still a fixture in the Marvel Universe, these days Hellstrom rarely employs his satanic pseudonym. Okay. And that is this week's entries from the tome in the tomb, known as Half-Baked Heroes from Comic Book History of the League of Regrettable Superheroes.
Now, Hellstrom had a lot of run. I mean, he was in the second incarnation of the Defenders. The one with Nighthawk, Hellcat, Valkyrie.
Silver egresses, little Nicky.
And they brought him back in several ways, and depending on who wrote it, was either great,
right.
You know, dealing
right.
with Satana, or lousy as all hell, as in the series that drove Hellcat, Patchy Walker, crazy.
Right. Okay, really quickly. Over, I want to do a roll call, because we haven't done that in a while. So over in City of Heroes, we have Swackhammer, who I'm sure will make his presence known during DawnCon, as he always does.
Mm-hmm.
We have Hell Lord Satan, Starlight Dreamer,
mm-hmm.
and yours truly. Some of you are just standing there. I couldn't click on them fast enough. Me and you hanging out. Some people to the far right of us. I don't know if they're while listening to the show or not. So behind you. I don't know. I don't think they're listening to the show. I think they're just hanging out there.
Right.
And over in Champions Online, besides us, the usual crew, Alan, Mr. Num Num, Clarence, Mordicus, Natalia Kromstock, and Silver Egrets. And I'm going to mention this again for everybody who just tuned in late. Don't forget, Sunday, July 24th, approximately 2 p.m. Eastern, over in Champions Online in the WCOC building in the conference room. If you want to play Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition, we're getting a campaign going. We're going to be making characters that day. Come join us. At least it'll be fun because I'm a new DM. We have a bunch of new players. 5th edition, anyway. So come on down. We'll have a blast.
Yep.
If not, play him out, though. This is all his idea. And like I said, I'm looking for... hold on. I'm trying to find the name of the thing, actually. From... it was called, hold on, I'm trying to find the actual name. Okay, hold on. Yes, this is what it was. Okay, it was a 1983 box set, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was called The World of Greyhawk Fantasy Game Setting, okay? And there were two books inside it. Okay, I'm not worried about, like, hold on, I'm trying to get details what the books are called. I'm not worried about the box itself. I'm just trying to get copies of the books, okay? There were two books in there. It was the guided book itself, the guide booklet, and then there was the glossography. So if anybody has them, they can get their hands.
I was about to say, if you were about to say the Tomb of Horrors, it's like, okay, make your characters. Now take your character sheet and rip it apart.
No. I just want those two books because I have the other ones are just like for the time periods, right? I have like From the Ash. I have like for starting points, they're really cool to have because it's like a good 5-year period before the Greyhawk Wars. I have that one. I have From the Ashes, okay, and I have something for like for a couple years after From the Ashes, right? But I don't have that time period for like 5 years. Like I'm trying to see what years it covers. I'm trying to explain. It's hard to explain. It's like, it covered like a, like in the history of O-Earth, which is the planet Greyhawk is on, it covers a 5-year span history on the planet. And that's a cool 5-year that we could play in because it's before the Greyhawk Wars. It's before From the Ashes. It's a simple time. An innocent time. Nothing is going on. And there's plenty of time to do stuff there. Otherwise, I could try and set it after everything's going on. You know, because I have the other stuff. I have, like, Greyhawk Adventures. I have From the Ashes. I have The Adventure Begins. I have The Living Greyhawk Gazetteer. Gazetteer, however you say it. But I would just like to have these two just to read, you know, things that happened beforehand. And like I was saying, the, these, like, if you're an old school D&Der, this is the world we played in. And it seems like Wizards of the Coast, since they bought Greyhawk, not Greyhawk, since they bought D&D, it's like 5th edition is out. They have no intentions of doing anything Greyhawk-wise now. Which sucks. So,
you know, forget the fact that most of the names of spells were based on Greyhawk, like, you know, Mordenkainen's...
What I was going to say was all those wizards, all those spells with named wizards, those were players who play-tested. Mordenkainen was actually one of Gary Gygax's characters. Oh, what I love is, if you ever saw the spell by Melf, he was an elven prince. But what a lot of people don't get the joke is, Melf was an elf. Melf the elf. And for years, like even as a kid, it was like me and like our my friends, we got the joke. Like, and like we talked to other people, like, so like adults got the joke and they love the fact that we got it, and other kids our age, they didn't get the joke. Like, okay, you don't get the joke? I was like, what? Melf the elf. Like, what? And the parents loved talking to us when, like, they knew we were ahead of ourselves. Ahead, you know, like, we were, you know, like, intelligence-wise, we were ahead of it. Like, and we have to explain to them, Melf the elf. Yeah, he's Melf. Oh, my God. Like, it rhymes. The name rhymes. Oh, it's like, forget it. Just move along. So then the parents will make up cool adventures, and they'd love to, you know, they could throw, like, cool stuff in there for us, and we get the references. Like, oh, okay. And, like, we'd ask, like, hey, it's like, okay. And, like, the one parent's like, I can DM. I love DM for these kids. Like, what? It was, like, something like a Monty Python reference, and we got it right away. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my God, these kids get the Monty Python. They get the Monty Python references. It's like, yeah. And I thought, I was like, yeah, I got the Holy Grail on tape, on the VHS tape at home. So they thought we were adorable, so they loved us. The other kids, our age, not so much. Not so much. But us, they said this is all for us. These other people, like, yeah. So.
Okay. Oh, well, if you have one more.
Anyway.
You got 6 minutes to say something else that you wanted to say.
Let me think now. What was this? I know that, I know Marvel and DC have announced their full schedule. Because don't forget, while we're doing DonCon, San Diego has their little convention going on. They have some kind of convention going on the same week as ours is going on. God, how dare they? The audacity. Jeez.
And they even tried to do an online, you know, after we started it. We started it.
Yeah, I know. We did it first. God, man, what the hell?
Samson said it.
We did it first. I know Harley Quinn's animated show. Season 3 is right around the corner. So, man, my voice is going. Sorry about that. Oh, here we go. Harley Quinn Season 3 is going to premiere on HBO Max with 3 new episodes on July 28th. And new episodes will follow weekly until September 15th. Oh, that's what I'm saying. I took advantage of the 2 weeks we had off. Not only did I watch or finish watching Stranger Things, I caught up on Marvel's Runaways. But I watched, this past weekend, I watched The Witcher. If you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend it. It's a very good show on Netflix. There's 2 seasons of 8 episodes. Season 3 looks like it's not going to come out until 2023, and it's a prequel series. So give that, you know, if you're into that, and especially if we're doing D&D, you know, I highly recommend watching that. So give that a check. As a matter of fact, as soon as I was done, I was like, I wonder. And sure enough, there was like plenty of like, can I make The Witcher for D&D? Or how would you do that? Oh, my niece is trying to come in. She locked herself out. And she's trying to get the key. Hold on.
I'm doing my show. I can't get up.
You locked yourself out. It's your fault. I can't get up. I'm doing my podcast. Sorry. Can't help you. All right, let me see if I can find a good news article. Okay, Stargirl. Yeah, oh. Yeah, this is what I thought was funny. I saw Stargirl's, like, you know, the new season, like, when it starts. I was shocked. Yeah, ready for this one? Stargirl, Season 3. Guess when it starts.
When?
Wednesday, August 31st.
On Paragon Dawn's anniversary. I mean, Dawn Radio's anniversary.
Yeah, but why is it starting? Why isn't it starting now? You can watch it all summer. Like, it can have the whole summer to itself.
I'm assuming as like, in lead up to Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, but it's not starting till the end of August, though. That's ridiculous. I don't get it. All right, we got less than 90 seconds. Thank you all for tuning in. Please don't forget Sunday. Join us 2 p.m. Eastern in the Canadian Wilderness by Argent, the sanctuary for the Fast and the Furious, as Dawn Con 8 officially kicks off. If you can, read those comic books, read those novels, and watch those superhero movies and TV shows. I haven't seen the new Thor movie yet. I'm hearing mixed things about it. But I gave you a review of some of the TV shows out there. Yeah, Ms. Marvel is out. Go check it out. It's pretty good. I'm enjoying it. And I gave you some other shows to go check out. Go check them out. We'll see you all Sunday in Canadian Wilderness. And Dawn Con 8 is here. And we'll be back next Monday night for all the official dates and events for Dawn Con 8. Anything you'd like to say in closing, Mad Viking?
Say goodnight, Gracie, and on DawnRadio.live, get ready for the Greatest Generation podcast.
Goodnight, Gracie. Yes, tune in. Embrace Dawn. 10 seconds left. And I'll have more information next Monday about my extralife.org. Yes, donations will begin. I know we'll be behind on that. I'll have promotions set up for that. See you all next week. Enjoy, everybody. Go over DawnRadio.live. Right now. Goodbye. Good night. Thank you for co-hosting Mad Viking. You guys rock. Okay, I think we're done. Good show.
All right.
I will see you Sunday. I'll talk to you during the week.
Yeah. Okay.
Obviously. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to you later. Have a good night.
Talk to you later.
Thank you. I'm ending the show right now. Good night.